You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
I want to share with you today on God's way. Many times people, when they talk about God's ways, their response can be different. Because if you think God is angry with you, you think God's way is to punish you and to hurt you and to be against you. But if you know that it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, you know that God is busy working out things, helping you. Amen? God's way is so much different than our ways, the way that He views things, the way that He sees things. God's way is so unique that you cannot figure it out. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Esther thought she's in the palace. And if you have a carnal mind, you'll think you're in the palace for the Bugatti and the Armani. And when God was looking at her, He says, no, you're there for a purpose to deliver my nation. Amen. God's way is so much different. When you're a David, you think you're delivering some cheese sandwiches to your brothers, and God has got in His mind, okay, we're going to kill a giant today. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, God's ways is not our ways. I want to tell you one thing about God's ways. God's ways is my cup runneth over. God's way is that He wants your cup to run over. Amen. I think it was 8 W. Tozer that said, the most important thing about any individual is what they believe about God. If you believe God is big, you can trust God for big things. But if you don't believe that God is big and can do big things, turn to the person next to you and say, God is big. God works according to His own purpose, His own plans, His own program, amen? That I've seen. But one thing, He also works according to His own pleasure. And it brings God pleasure to bless His children. Can I have an amen? Doesn't matter what you've gone through. Ephesians 2 verse 13, the Amplified says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is in all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. The NASB says, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So God is at work on the inside of you for His good pleasure. You think you come to church to meet a friend, and God is at work positioning you to change your life completely. In John 6, 5,000 people came out to hear Jesus. And Jesus said, I don't just want them to hear me, I want to feed them as well. And God wanted to do more, amen? They were not expecting that. They went out just to hear Jesus. If I could just hear this man speak, I know my life is going to change. They didn't expect it, but God showed grace and He fed all of them. The prodigal son again, he was just hoping to eat bread. I'm going to go back to my father's house. I just want bread. He arrived there, the father gave him a feast. Gave him a robe, gave him a ring, gave him shoes. It's God's pleasure, His satisfaction, His desire to do far more abundantly whatever we could think or dream. Amen? God does not do what we think because His thoughts are not our thoughts. The way God does things is not our ways because His ways are not our ways. Amen? Are you ready for the message today? Let us pray. Precious Father, we thank You that You reveal Your ways to us in Jesus' name. Stir up faith in people's hearts today to believe once again that God is busy perfecting everything concerning them, taking them from where they are to where you want them to be. Let your people hear your voice upon my voice, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. In Isaiah 55 verse 8, the word of God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours. Well, have you ever tried to figure God out? How does he think? How is it that he blesses this person and does just things that seem supernatural? God knows best. Turn to the person next to you and say, God knows best. God knows best. And he is busy perfecting everything concerning you. Orchestrating things when you're not even aware of it. That's God's way. When man did not know that he needed a Savior, God the Father sent Jesus. So we look at things from a natural point of view. But God is looking at things completely differently. Amen? When you know somebody's word, his words, when you know somebody's words, you know their character. And when you know their character, they become predictable. That's how we know how God will respond. Because we know his word, we know his character. When you come to him in humility and sincerity of heart, you say, Lord, I've sinned, forgive me. He forgives us. Amen? Because we know his character. God does everything in line with his nature, in line with his character. That's how he responds to us. So you should have an expectation. Most of us grew up. I broke my arm because God wanted to teach me something. Am I talking to the right people here? God can take something bad and turn it around, but that's not his way. Amen? It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. It's the goodness of God. That's God's ways. The goodness. Yes, we go do some stupid things sometimes, but God can even turn stupid things around for his goodness. Amen? Foolish things around for his goodness. That's God's way, because he's busy helping us. So when you read the Bible, the first three Gospels, you'll see when people come and petition, when people pray, when people ask, when people make a demand, Jesus was responding and healing and helping and doing good. But when you get to the book of John, the one who loved God so much and God loved him, you start to see something completely different. God showing up to manifest his glory. God working in people's lives and doing things when from a natural point of view, he shouldn't even. It's God's way to sometimes get involved in sticky situations. Let me rephrase it. God is not embarrassed about your situation. Some things that we go through, we think, okay, God, you cannot come in here. And John recorded some of those matters. In the book of John 2, you see a situation where the wine at a wedding is suddenly finished. And his mother comes to him and says, listen, you've got to help the people. John 2 verse 3, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? Why are you getting involved with this wine issue? That's got nothing to do with us. Can I tell you something? Your things that you think has got nothing to do with Jesus, he wants to get involved and help you. That's God's way. Amen. You know what he did here? You know the story? How Jesus went and he made better wine. That even the people started commenting and said, listen, what's going on here? You're supposed to give the best wine first. Why are you giving the best wine last? Amen? The same in John chapter 4 when we often talk about it, the true worshipers. But Jesus meets a woman at the well. situation that from the disciples are not even there. He sends his disciples away because I think he just wants to avoid an argument. He asks the woman for water. I mean, just think about this. The one who created water, who is living water, comes and asks a question to a Samaritan he's not supposed to talk to and say, can you give me some water? Not because he's thirsty, but he wants to make her realize that she should thirst for real water. So sometimes Jesus will come and ask you questions because he wants to draw you closer. Amen? John 4 verse 9, therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you being a Jew ask me for a drink? Why are you talking to me? Your kind don't talk to me and my kind don't talk to you. Am I talking to the right people here? There's a cultural issue here, and Jesus says, I want to look beyond that. You have to look beyond that. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you living water. She didn't even know that she had this need. This is God's way. I'm telling you now, in situations in your life where you don't even know you have a need, God will come and ask questions. God will come and manifest his goodness. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, God's ways are not our ways. Sometimes God will place you in your workplace, at school, next to people who are not the same like you. Amen? That's God's way. In chapter 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda, I love that story. Can you imagine? The Bible says 38 years the man was lying next to that pool trying to get in, and every time he gets in, somebody just jumps in before him and they get healed. The man's trying to get into the water, but the living water's trying to get into him. That's God's ways. Sometimes we are so focusing on what we want that we miss out on what God wants to do in us. John 5 verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you wish to get well? I mean, what kind of a question is that? You've been lying there for 38 years. And the Lord says, do you wish to get well? This man had lost all hope. I want to tell you, if you're in a situation where you've lost all hope, God's way is to come to you and to help you. Sometimes our focus are on the wrong things. And Jesus said, I want to do a greater work. You want to get into the water, I want to get into you. I want to change your life from the inside out. John 5 verse 7, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, get up. Pick up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Amen. In verse 14, you can see Jesus finds him in the temple. He says, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happens to you. God's way, God's way. I'm just going to read some scriptures, and I really want God to bring revelation to your heart. Sorry, let me just go back. John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He doesn't come asking questions. He more comes making statements. He comes to the way, and he says, listen here, I've been preaching for 30 years. You've been going for 3 years. There's signs, wonders, and miracles in your ministry. Why? What's going on? It should be in mine. And Jesus just answers him straight. He says, listen here, unless you're born again, you won't understand this. Just got straight to the point, get born again. I want to tell you, if you want to understand God's ways and get in sync with God's ways, you have to be born again. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, you must be born again. You must be born again. In chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people and there's baskets left over. fish and the bread, God can multiply that. Amen. Can I leave you with another thing with God's ways? Many times when I talk to people, when people go through things, when things don't work out, how many of you say, what have I done wrong? Just raise your hands or double blink at me. John 9 verse 1. Go there with me in your Bibles. And I want to read this to help you so that you can understand God's ways. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked. Sometimes Christians will ask the wrong questions. Sometimes Christians can ask you questions that can hurt you. Don't get offended, amen? Keep your eyes on Jesus. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? Whose fault is this? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work in the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Turn to the person next to you, say, sometimes it's nobody's fault. It's just to glorify God's name. God is ready to do a miracle in your life because that's who he is. Sometimes nobody had sinned. Nobody had done anything wrong. But God's heart was still to help. Amen? God doesn't just do miracles because we ask him. He does miracles because that's who he is. He does miracles because it brings him great pleasure to help you. Yes, give the Lord a hand. Acts 10 verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Everywhere he went, he was looking to do good. That's his nature. He is looking for opportunities to do good. He is the miracle worker. Do you believe that? You know, in this situation that we've gone through, meetings that we've had, you can very easily ask yourself, what have you done wrong? Can I tell you something, family? Never compare yourself to other people. Don't compare yourself to other people. You don't know their story. Sometimes the only thing that you're seeing is the glory. Can I say this? I believe in asking. I believe in praying. I believe ask the Father in Jesus' name. But more than that, I believe that God wants to do good. Can I tell you something? We've put such guilt and condemnation on people to say, yeah, that's not happened because you're not praying, because you're not asking. Let me give you a light bulb moment. If God had to take everything away, what we've not prayed for, how much will be left in your life? Because God chooses grace rather than works so that no man should boast. Every advancement in your life is not because of a prayer that you've prayed. Please pray as if everything depends upon God, and work as if everything depends upon you. But God is working in you for his own pleasure, is what the Bible says. It brings him pleasure to heal you. It brings him pleasure to help you. Sometimes God is doing things in our lives and we've not even initiated it. He's the creator and he wants to create. When you go look at the miracle of Lazarus, the next chapter, Lazarus, with Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, they didn't even want to roll the stone away. That whole miracle was initiated by Jesus Christ. Everything that happened there was him. Many times things that are happening in your life, you're not even praying for it. He's the one initiating it. Peter did not even know that the devil wanted to sift him. Jesus told him, I want to give you a light bulb moment. I've been praying for you that your faith would not fail. Some of you have strong faith, not because of you, but because of Jesus praying for you to do his good pleasure in your life. Martha and them were so blinded by the whole situation. Like I said, they didn't even want to roll the stone away. Jesus was the one initiating everything. Even when it comes to praying, you prayer warriors praying at 12 o'clock, praying at 1 o'clock, praying at 10 o'clock, doing your 3 hours, your 2 hours. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in your weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings. So you can be praying, but it's the Holy Spirit praying in you that produces the results. That it's not of man, but of God. Amen? This is the wonderful Jesus that we serve. This is God's way. This is God's way. Him working in you, through you. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, he says, don't start boasting and think you've done it. But it's God who gives you the ability to be successful, the anointing, the grace to establish his covenant, because it's all about relationship. It's not what you're doing, it's what he's done. That's why the greatest blessing for us is to walk in sync with God. Ephesians 2, verse 10, to know the good works that God has predestined for us and to walk in them. Turn to the person next to you and say, the Spirit himself makes intercession for you. So many times we can say the way that I'm walking, but it's actually God's way. Moses understood this. He says, if I want to walk in God's ways, Lord, unless your Spirit goes before me, I'm not entering into the promised land. Because I know it's not about me, but if you are there and you're waiting for me, I know I can make it. I know I can pull through. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, God's ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. I mean, just be true. Sometimes when you're praying for somebody, your thoughts is, God, I think you should do this and this. It will help them to serve you quicker. Am I talking to the right people here? Or God, if you can just do it like this or this for me, I think it will be better. I think one thing that I've realized, God chooses grace rather than works that no man should boast. But when you know what God wants to do in you and through you, step up and run like never before. Amen? In conclusion, you have to get past the bumps to the blessings. Amen? People have got different sayings. Get beyond the bumps to the blessings, or get past the bullets to the blessings. But I don't want bullets. Amen. Okay. What we've asked is never the problem. But can you believe that God is busy doing something bigger than what you've asked? And even if you've not asked, it's still his good pleasure to work in you and to perfect everything concerning you. What he requires of us is obedience. You know Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. God is working in us. Ask God for the big things. But God's way is to help you. God's way is to assist you. David was not a giant slayer. He had a friend in the Holy Spirit who disposed of giants in his life. You cannot kill a giant with a stone. Amen? You need the help of the Holy Spirit to kill that giant. When the two boys arrived, or when the boy arrived with the two loaves, or the five loaves and the two fish in his hand, in his hands he could feed a few people and maybe himself. But when he placed it in the hands of Jesus, It had an impact on people's lives. Amen. What God is going to do in your life is not based upon what you've done, but what Jesus has done on the cross so that he can get the glory. Can I say that again? What God is going to do in your life, his way, is not based on what we do, but it's what Jesus has done on the cross. Paul had revelation of this. He said, even when I'm weak, I know that I'm strong. He says, his grace is sufficient for me. This is how God operates. That even when I'm weak, I know I can be strong. His grace is sufficient for me to take me from where I am to where he wants me to be. So whether you are somebody that wandered away, when you come back to God, don't just expect bread. Expect him to do something beyond that. When you've gone to listen to a message from Jesus, you might just be surprised and be fed as well. Amen. Can I tell you, we should have that kind of an attitude when we are working with people to do more than what they expect, because that's the Jesus way. The Jesus way is always to do more than what people expect. Jesus said, if they ask you to walk 1 mile, why don't you go 2 miles? When they ask you for a jacket, why don't you give them 2 jackets? Amen? That's the Jesus way, and we should get to a place in our lives when we can just do that and live that. Amen. Pray as if everything depends upon God, but work as if everything depends upon you. We have to do our part. Amen. God wants to manifest his glory in you and through you because it brings him great pleasure. God's way is to help you. God's way is to assist you. God's way is to be your shield, to be your protection, to be your exceedingly great reward. God's way is for you to walk under the shadow of the Almighty. That's God's way. He wants to manifest his strength in you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.